out of the dust came a man true and bold, champion of the Fandango. By night he drank whiskey, by day killed bad men, and the townspeople knew him as Rango. Coming down the mountainside, the people hailed his name, and of his legend they sang, oh. With iron in his heart and steel in his club, he pumped their heads all full of lead. Rango, Rango, Rango.
Hey, 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 how's it going out there? Yes, in fact, it is another Tuesday. Another awesome Tuesday, I might say. And the reason why that is because...
Because of The Miz?
Yes. Because of The Miz. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard the voice. You heard the voice of the Carolyn and Joe Show. She is back. Carolyn is back. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking, Joe.
I know it's a little bit. I know it's a little bit tough, but
tell about my voice.
I know it's a little bit tough, but you really wanted to be here, and I think that's awesome.
I feel like in the past hour, right before we record this show, I had soup, tea, throat lozenges. You know, I'm cleared out a little bit, so I'm ready to go.
Gotta get that cycle going, and I think a lot of times you just gotta get sort of. You gotta get that adrenaline rushing when you just dive right into the Carolyn and Joe Show, when you just dive right into the show. Because there's been many times, several times I think I've had my voice sound all messed up on this show, but I was just like, screw it, man, there's a lot
know.
Of people wanna check it out.
I feel like you've always sounded really good, you know, like, but now I can really tell, because you don't, like, cough and stuff. Like, I have, like, a major cough. Like, and also this has been going on for a week and one day. Like, this is an 8-day ordeal. And I, like, last week, I felt bad, but I just could not do a show. But Joe and Mr. Bandit filled in. Mr. Bandit did awesome. And that's actually one of my favorite Carolyn and Joe shows.
I hope a lot of people like the Mr. Bandit episode. I know he's pretty... He was excited to do it. I don't know if he was excited, but he was like, I got to step in. And,
yeah,
you know, these guys
like,
are good friends.
It's a last-minute thing.
Yeah, it's a last-minute thing, but, I'm not getting paid and stuff like that. But, you guys promote me well, so.
Yeah.
Mr. Bandit, I heard, you know, I think maybe he did it for you, Carolyn, basically. So I think he has a thing for you.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Mr. Bandit. Like, so last week I just totally couldn't make it, and I'm trying to make it this week.
But see, that's the best part, just to persevere through the toughness. But you are listening to Rango. Rango's always a really awesome thing. We saw that movie a couple of weeks ago now. I actually like it. I don't know what's wrong with a lot of other people. I freaking love the hell out of this movie.
What did people say about it? What was wrong with other people?
I don't know.
I didn't read any of the reviews.
I mean, even going into it, I saw a lot of
good... Actually, I did read one.
Actually, like, going into Rango, I already saw, you know, like, whatever, 89% awesome on the...
So do you check that, Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, that's what it was, the 89, whatever.
Do you check that?
I do check it sometimes after the fact, after I watch a movie, you know what I mean?
89's still pretty good. What is that, a B+, or B in Fairfax County Public School System?
But see, there's this thing I have with people who... there's this thing I have with people... I don't know, like, whenever I like a movie, and I'm really excited about a movie, and I come at someone saying, like, I love this movie so much, I feel that they, like, feel the need to have to sort of shut me down about it. They're like, are you sure, man? Like, they try to be all hardcore.
Everybody's a critic, man. But we saw Rango, and going into it, this is, like, a movie that I already knew gonna like it.
How far did the hype go for you, though? Like, because, like, I remember, like, when the first time we ever saw this, I believe... We went to go see True Grit as opposed to seeing Black Swan, a movie I've yet to see at this point, Black Swan. And, you know, whatever, people can say whatever they want about that. But I remember that might be, we even took a picture with the stand-up, but that night is when we saw the cutout of Rango. Remember that?
Yeah, and I saw the theater display cardboard cutout of this lizard named Rango. And personally, you know, honestly, I know I'm going to say this, but like... I feel like Rango is a movie that I would have made. Like, it's like
Why
one of those
that,
things
though?
That's like, I see that and I was like, oh my, it's one of those things that you see and you're like, I wish I made that.
Why is that? Like, how does that contain to what you do? Like, what you do and then you see Rango.
When I was like in fourth grade, no joke, I really do have this, I should probably scan it and put it online so people can like believe
maybe we can use
and
that,
visualize.
Maybe we can use that as like the image that we post up there if that's possible. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, within the next few hours, if I can, like, find that and scan it, which... I don't know where my illustrations are. It's kind of a mess right now. But, you know, I can't guarantee it, but maybe. But, so I have this character that I created when I was in fourth grade, and no joke, it is, like, it's a gecko, and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and, like, I think he, like, looks pretty close to Rango. Like, it might not be spot on, but it's, like, to me, that is, like, very close to Rango, but my character's name is Gecko Frog. It's, like,
but he's
same.
A gecko, though, right? And Rango's
half,
a chameleon.
Half gecko and half frog.
And then, but...
One of his parents was a gecko, and the other parent was a frog.
But Rango is a chameleon.
Yeah.
They're both sort of reptilians, right?
Yeah, they're both... The thing is, my gecko guy had, like, a longer snout.
And it does make sense.
He kind of actually has, like, an alligator-type snout, but without teeth.
And it does sort of make sense, because in the world of comics and comics... in your comic strip with Curl's webcomic, you know, you have turtles. You have animals. You know, I mean, it exists in your world. Rango, I believe, would exist in your world.
Yeah, like, Rango would be a character that I would have made. Like, I'm not taking any credit for him or anything, but I'm just saying, like... This is one of those things where I look at it and I was like, man, I wish I made that. Like, I would have done.
Right,
I would have
kept on going with the character.
Because Gecko Frog, the furthest I got with him, like, I have some of the storyboards that I made in fourth grade.
Didn't he show up in the early like the Curls University?
There is one thing that had, like, I drew 1 week for Curls at VCU newspaper. 1 week I was, like, really stressed out and I had, like, a lot of stuff to do. I think it was, like, during final exam week and stuff. And I drew, like, this crazy lizard that did kind of look like Gecko Frog. And it said Igor, the crazy lizard student. And it just, like, had this lizard that had, like, all this schoolwork and, like, papers flying all around him. And his eyes were all, like, spiraled and, like, psyched out. Like, because he was, like, all crazy and stuff. Like, because that's how I felt that week. I just felt like this crazy lizard just running around, like, going to class and writing papers and studying and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, so, but that wasn't really actually based on Gecko Frog, but it kind of was the same thing. Was he wearing a Hawaiian shirt?
Who, Rango?
No, Igor, the crazy lizard.
I think he might have been naked.
I think he was naked and he had, like, a chain around his neck. Because he was, like, all, like, stressed out and he was chained.
I think he might have been one of those naked animals.
But, you know, like, Gecko Frog, like, he had a Hawaiian shirt. Like, my guy, Gecko Frog, that I created in fourth grade, he was, like, the same thing as Rango, but, like, but in the bayou. Like, he was in the New Orleans bayou, and he has, like, a band that had a shrimp and,
What?
Wait, like, an alligator.
Explain. All right, let's explain. Let's just go into deep detail what this character would be if you were to flesh him out. Like,
well,
let's start from the beginning.
I do have, like, storyboards from him, but to be honest...
But let's start from the beginning, sort of like, what is his name? And then, like, his name is Gecko Frog, so he's a frog.
He's a gecko and a frog.
He's a gecko and
he's
a frog.
50-50.
What's Gecko Frog's backstory? Now, this character hasn't been fully evolved in the Curls webcomic, but we can at least start now. We can let the world have a little bit of intro into what he can become, what he might see in the future, because you did flesh him out. You did flesh him out in your head.
Yeah.
And on paper.
He kind of doesn't know what he is because he's half gecko, half frog. He looks a little weird because, like, people are like, are you a gecko or are you a frog? Like, because when you look at him, he could be either one, you know?
Does he have, like, the big upper body? How does a gecko look like? It looks like the commercial with the gecko?
Like a Geico gecko. He kind of has, like, that body. And then the head kind of, like, is frog. But then he really honestly does kind of have, like, a snout that's kind of like a crocodile.
What?
Like, but he doesn't really have teeth.
So what's his backstory? Because Rango had a backstory. Like, you know, he came from...
Well, like, his parents, one was a gecko and one was a frog.
Wait, so how's that possible?
Does it have to be possible? That's how it is. I mean, I made it in fourth grade. I didn't really think... You know, he just kind of... He had two things going on. People didn't know what he was, you know? Like, they kind of know... Like, it's kind of like Gonzo from Muppets. It's like, what is this? This guy's a Muppet, but what is he? Is he an anteater? Is he... What is Gonzo?
So it's like, what is Gecko Frog? He's a gecko and a frog.
What is Gonzo?
Isn't he, like, supposed to Gonzo from the Muppet Babies? Like, the purple guy?
Yeah, with the snout.
I don't know what he's... I guess he's supposed to be an anteater, but they never really define...
They never say what he is. So it kind of doesn't really matter. He just ends up being Gonzo. This is what it is. It's Gecko Frog is just Gecko Frog. He's a gecko, half frog. And he lives in the Louisiana bayou. And he is, like, all Cajun and stuff. And he has, like, a Hawaiian shirt.
I do like that each one of your characters has, like, their own accent. It's always it's always a good to envision that each one of the Curls webcomic characters that the Curls webcomic characters have, like, because he even said like applause to Fighting Fish, you know, he's from Taiwan. So yes,
curls-studio.com/curls.
That's right.
Check it out on the internet.
Yeah, so Gecko Frog. So you said he had a backstory. He had a family. What's
Where
would these stories go?
His family is like mixed, so he's like geckos and frogs everywhere. And so, like I said, I have one storyboard of him still left over from when I used to draw when I was younger. But to be honest with you, I don't remember the story, but I know where it is, so I could possibly find it somewhere and tell you guys one day. But it's, I think I did it in like watercolors or some type of paint.
Yeah.
I remember doing that. It's on like a poster board for some school presentation. And then, and now also the only other drawings that I still have left of him is just like it's not really a sequential art. It's just a picture of him with his band. And it, there's like this little drummer. I think the drummer was a shrimp. And then there's like these.
Wait, like a shrimp?
Yeah, like a shrimp that you eat seafood.
As opposed to what?
Yeah, the shrimp, and then there's, like, these other guys that are in the band, and there's, like, a lobster, I think, or some. No, the crawfish. There's a crawfish. Like a Cajun crawfish.
So this Cajun crawfish, so you have a shrimp? So basically you have all these sea dwellers, basically.
Yeah, but they're, like, Cajun, and they all jam in the band. So, yeah.
What type of adventures were you thinking about these guys having? Like,
oh, no.
How would you, if you were to do this right now, how would you interject Gecko Frog, like, into the world of Curls of the Curls webcomic?
I think he needs to be on his own level because he's similar to the Curls world because it's all coming from my mind.
Yeah.
But he lives, like, on the bayou. He lives in the swamps. So it's a little different because Curls doesn't live there.
Yeah.
So he has his own thing. But also I still have left over from my school projects. I have a clay. I think you might have actually been in my art class during this time period. It might have been like 7th or 8th grade, I guess.
Yeah.
We have to make like we had to make like this set kind of with two walls and a floor.
Okay.
Like a corner. Do you remember this project?
I think I sort of do, like, because you're making like a house, basically.
Kind of. It's not the one that we did that was like the three triangle that was a
vase. It's hard for me to remember. That was like almost like 20 years ago, it feels like.
But you were in my class. You might have been in my class, I think. Anyway, so we basically did like a corner of a room. And I remember, first of all, for me, like, I'm pretty good at art, like, all throughout school. But, like, for me, with clay, it was hard to keep up the walls. I remember specifically because you had to score it.
Yeah.
And, like, put the water. I think I always put in too much water, and then it would just droop down.
And then it would just be, like,
then I'll have to redo it, like, 100 times.
Yeah.
Finally, I got it. But I remember I had to redo it, like, seriously, like, 100 times. It was just over and over again.
Yeah.
And, anyway, so I wasn't the best with ceramics or whatever, clay, pottery, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, so I did do, for that project, I did a set of Gecko Frog, and it's his bait shop.
That's cool.
Is
there a picture of this that could possibly be up?
I have a slide of it. But I would have to find a slide and scan it. But I still have that, and I still have, like, he has a little desk that has a fishing pole on it, and then I have Gecko Frog stand up in clay. But it's not, like, the greatest thing ever, it does show him. So,
cool.
Like, even from, so, like, I had originally conceived of the idea in 4th grade, and then, I guess, 4 years later, in 8th grade, I made the clay set. But I don't really have many of his comics left over, but I just have, like, him with the band. I might be able to find, the band was called Gecko Frog and Fish Food or something like that. drum. What's it called when you have something on the drum?
The kick drum?
The kick drum, yeah. It's a Gecko Frog and Fish Food or something.
I definitely think.
Cajun band.
Maybe that's how it should be. Maybe like applause is like, oh, have you heard about this band that's coming up? And then it could be like Gecko Frog in the fish food because, like, you know, he wants fish food, so.
Yeah, because he would like that stuff. And the music, like, in my head, it was, like, all Cajun. It was all, like, you know, like, as if you had, like, one little My voice is messing up. But you know, if you had like one little string that's like,
yeah.
So I don't know.
Sort of like a little like bassy thing.
Yeah, like yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
I don't know. It's, that sounds a little bit like Planet Terror, but with the Southern. Yeah. So I mean, I don't really have like hardcore stories down for him, but in my head, like, you know, he had his bait shop, and I'm gonna take a sip of water.
Glug, 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 glug.
He had his bait shop. He had his band.
Because it's cool.
He had the Cajun thing going for him, and he had his swamp stuff.
It's cool because in the movie Rango, like, that was like gold to them, was like water.
Yeah, that was. That was their currency.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed it. It's weird. I mean, I'm saying this. I don't know, maybe I care about my own opinion, but, like, I don't know, like...
You should care about your own opinion.
Yeah, I care, like, completely, and it's... Man, I'm just different, you know what I mean? A lot of people... It's weird because I feel like sometimes when people have not seen the movie and they'll pretend that they saw it, so they'll just think of the what's the cool thing to say or what did this other person say, and their critique, and then they'll take it from their own, and I'll ask him, I'll ask him about this one moment, and like I can completely tell, like, oh, you didn't watch the movie. You're just trying to be cool.
So
you know
many
what I mean?
People just like read what, especially like New York Times says about it. And it's like, is that like the Holy Grail? So you don't have to see the movie, you just read what it says. I'm like, what? Yeah, it makes no sense. Just go see the movie, man.
It's like I'm really trying to take a stance on like really not giving my own opinion unless I've experienced it there. You know, unless I've seen the movie, I don't want to. And, like, I don't know how we can actually regulate this because all types of people will lie or they'll try to play it off like cool. But I just want the world to know that, like, if you're to ask me something or ask me any question, I'll give my honest opinion on it. Whether, you know, I'll tell you, I haven't seen the movie and I'm not going to give my impression of it right now. You know what I mean? I'll say, like, from the trailers, I can say this. And they'll be like, oh, why didn't you see it yet? You know, I'm not going to pay for that.
Well, you know, with...
I just want to put my foot down. You know what I mean? I want people to... I don't lie. I stand by the fact that I don't lie. And, you know, that's the next level of
that. Well, what I've been doing recently is, because I'd say about 2 years ago, I used to read Entertainment Weekly really, like, religiously.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of stopped reading that magazine. Not because it's bad or anything, but I honestly don't really want to read spoilers anymore in a way. You know, like, I mean, actually, Entertainment Weekly is kind of like Entertainment Last Weekly. I mean, they're not really digging up anything that's like... You know, oh, cutting edge in a way. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, they actually, that's one of my favorite magazines. I'm not trying to down them. They have great content. It's just like me personally now, I just don't want to get involved before the project anymore
What sections do you do like of Entertainment Weekly? If you're looking at it right now, like however the newest issues. My subscription ran out, so I have no idea what.
Like I said, I haven't picked it up in a while, but I just like the layout. I like the design of it. I like the content. I like how I can just read snippets of it and flip the page, and I don't have to read like every little word. You know, like it's digestible for me.
And I, you know, for me, like, you know, Entertainment Weekly, I've been checking it out like for forever, and I always loved the photography. Or they used to be. Now it's a little bit. There's some better ones, but back in the day, I was really like, that was my first experience of like, oh, look, this is, you can do this with photography.
I think they
went
a little bit downhill in the photography.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like back in the day, now it's so-so.
Now
they've they've had their time and stuff like that. But I do like reading, you know, like they have, even when Stephen King was writing his articles, his editorial. Mm-hmm. I always enjoyed that.
He had a column.
Yeah, he had a column there.
There's also the Juno writer had a column, but hers didn't last very long. I don't know.
I don't know what happened
she
to Diablo.
And then she only wrote about the New Kids on the Block or Backstreet Boys.
I feel like Diablo Cody.
I'm like, really, write about something else.
I don't know what the hell happened to Diablo Cody, man. I really think that Ellen Page was really the star maker at that point.
Yeah,
you know?
True, but I mean...
And also the director.
I was all excited about Diablo Cody's column in Entertainment Weekly. And I swear to God, every time I read it, she just talked about New Kids on the Block.
It wasn't something that was very substantial. It had that kiddie point, I guess, but that's what she is, though, you know?
I mean, that's cool if you mention it for... I'll take it for one column, but I swear to God, she mentioned it like 6 times. And I think she only had 6 columns.
Yeah,
I was like, really? So you basically write all about New Kids on the Block?
But it's weird because I, you know, maybe it's me. I don't really know much about her background or anything like that. I can only judge from what I've seen. You know, I enjoyed Juno.
Juno was good.
I enjoyed Juno like everyone else. You know, and you know, good direction and had great characters. What could go wrong? Jennifer's Body, can't say I liked it.
I saw about 2 minutes of Jennifer's Body, and I didn't want to watch it anymore. It was on TV. It was like in the middle of it, or I don't even know what I saw, but I just know I didn't like it, and I was like, I never want to watch this ever. And then when I saw the box of it, the DVD box,
yeah,
it said like unrated in blood, like on on Megan Fox's belly button area.
Oh, really? Is that what the box was?
Yeah, it said like unrated. I don't know. I guess it was a director's cut or something like that. And I was just like,
What movie is now,
like,
not?
Please don't put like blood fake tattoo across somebody's stomach. That's stupid. I know that's not Diablo Cody's fault. It's probably some marketing.
Yeah, that's just
bullshit.
The marketing, but because she's just a writer, she didn't direct it or anything.
I
like
know.
That.
I'm just saying. I saw that and I was like, oh god.
But yeah, like when she was writing for Entertainment Weekly, like I don't know what it was, but, you know, I thought she would be writing more. And really, she only had, maybe it was just once a month? I don't know. It didn't really feel like she did that.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what happened with that. But anyway, back to Entertainment Weekly. You know, I it's a good magazine. I just kind of stopped. It's very, you know, I get my quick reads about everything I need to know in the entertainment business. And I don't have to spend much time with anything else. I'll just, you know, it's like the Bible of that week. I'm like, okay, I'll digest
this. What is it, like 40 pages or something like that?
I mean, you can just flip through it and, like, pick up on. And I like how they highlight certain words, you know, if you're interested in a certain person, you know, if you're like, whatever, Tom Hanks is working on this. And you can just flip through the words, you know.
Who makes Entertainment Weekly? Do they have, like, another magazine? Are they part of, like, Us Weekly or something like that?
I don't know for sure, but I know that most magazine companies have a whole bunch of publications.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to take another sip of water.
I also like sort of like they do the bullseye thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I caught on to that, yeah. I was really entertained by Entertainment Weekly's bullseye.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, they have some good features. But just personally, I just kind of stopped reading that, and a lot of
did you just stop, like, you just stop?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, if it happens to be nearby, I might pick it up for a few seconds, but I haven't gone out of my way to read it in, honestly, probably close to a year now.
Is that the same thing with Rolling Stone? You think Rolling Stone fell out of favor at the same time too?
I never really read it. I never had a subscription,
but I always know that. I remember us saying, like, as soon as it went to that small format, we were like, what the hell? Now it's not Rolling Stone anymore. Now the best magazines,
it's
entertainment,
not. I mean,
is
magazines
interview.
Are magazines
interview
are all
magazine
cut back.
Is the best.
But you know, everything's online now, so.
So format, you know, size doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and another thing is, so like overall, after I saw what was that other Coen Brothers movie?
True Grit.
No, the
Burn
the
After
one,
Reading.
No, the one with
No
Sugar.
Format?
Yeah, No Country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw No Country for Old Men about 2 years ago. And that's
in the theater, right? In East Street Cinema.
Yeah, that's what pretty much changed my perspective on, like, spoilers. Because before that, I would all be like, oh, I want to know all the inside gossip.
But
I need to know who's starring in this before I watch it.
But going into, this is during that time where we were really watching a lot of stuff in East Street Cinema, too. And so, like, we went into, or at least for you, you went into No Country for Old Men, basically.
All I knew about it was that it was a Coen Brothers film, and that was it. I didn't know anything. I didn't know who was in the movie. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know the plot. It was, and then I sat down. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to watch it. And then it was fabulous, and I was like, I'm going to start watching movies like this from now on, because I was so surprised about things. I didn't know who the actors were going to be, but then when I saw them on screen, I was like, oh, okay, that's that guy, you know? But, like, I didn't know any of the story. I didn't know any spoilers. I didn't know any of that. And sometimes when you would read Entertainment Weekly beforehand, you might know stuff. Even if, like, I know this sounds silly, but you should probably know who's going to be in the film before you see it.
Because that's sometimes, I mean, that's sort of like the main reason why people watch movies.
Because, I mean, their names on the poster and stuff. Because
I know when you saw Rango, actually the first thing you said was like, oh, it's Johnny Depp, and he's doing this voice. You're like, that's intriguing.
Yeah.
I have that picture on my phone.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I took a picture. I told Joe, I said, take a picture of me with this stand-up cardboard Johnny Depp lizard. And I'm, like, holding him. But you know, like, I just don't want to know, like, too much anymore about movies. I guess
you
want to
keep
you know,
the magic alive,
you,
basically.
I don't mind knowing, like, who's in it, but sometimes it's, like, extra special if you're like, oh, this person's in it.
And, you know, that's the same thing, like, even for me when I watch, like, wrestling and stuff, when they have the spoilers out there, you know, it's available for me, and a lot of times I don't read it because I really want to keep it alive. Since even though there's so much information out there in the world, it doesn't really mean I need to spoil everything for me.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
The other thing is, like, with Twitter, like, I'm a pretty active Twitter user. And what's really getting me now is, like, people are writing, like, spoilers on there. They'll
yeah,
be like,
spoilers
oh,
are, like, everywhere.
Like, it's all over. You can't even, like, hide yourself, man. You know, like, I guess it depends on who you're following. But I do follow, like, some entertainment people.
And, like, and no doubt, like, right now, you know, I want to watch the final season of Smallville. And, you know, I can't because I can't really keep up with it all the time. And now everyone's just throwing spoilers at me left and right. And I'm like, well, wow, this is... There it goes, you know what I mean? There's my freshness. Because that's the one thing I've really enjoyed about watching the beginning of a movie or watching the beginning of a TV show. It feels like the beginning of school. Like the beginning of when you first, you know, the first day in class. And you have no idea who these people are. And it's like this new adventure. I love that. I love this, the beginning of a new adventure. And usually whenever people put spoilers for me, that takes that magic out. I mean, and it's, you know, I understand that it's impossible to hide from spoilers in this spoiler world that we live in now.
I think people always just want to know stuff.
They
want to
be the first person?
But even if they don't
They want to be first? First!
Even if they don't even watch it, though. They're like, oh, I know that Johnny Depp's the voice of Rango. But
and
then
they
want to
sound
like
they already know all the shit about
already,
it, right?
Like,
and they rehash people's opinions and
they're
shit.
They're not going to watch it, you know? And then they just read whatever the New York Times or whoever credible source says about it. And then they're just like, yeah, I heard the movie was good, but it lacked a little bit of heart. Like Toy Story 3 had more heart.
But
you know, like, that's
but
the main
like, how
thing.
The fuck, it's like, how the fuck do you know? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, you didn't see the movie. How you letting this person tell you how to feel?
That's what I got out of that, whatever, that one Rango review that I read after I saw the movie. It said that it's a good movie, it has staying power, and like the animation holds up. But then they said it did lack a little bit of heart, like that Toy Story 3 had. But that didn't really seem to bother me. I see their point.
But
like
see,
they're right.
But like, also,
but I still enjoyed Rango.
But
that's
also
all that matters.
The challenge of that is like they're just gonna compare. If you're comparing it to someone else, it's like, well, this sandwich tastes different than this sandwich. It's like they're two fucking different sandwiches.
And this was also a Nickelodeon movie.
It's like, what are you expecting? You know what I mean?
Like, actually, I think that as far as animation goes and the look and stylize and everything, visually, I thought that held up pretty well to a Pixar movie. Like,
it's an industrial light. It's an ILM movie. It's like fucking who made Star Wars.
It held up, man.
But at the end of the day, it should be the pinnacle that it can possibly be. It's ILM. You know, they make the best CGI possibly. I don't know.
They make magic, for Christ's sake.
They make fucking magic.
It's in
their
name.
Out of nothing. Out of electronics.
Magic is when you take something that didn't exist before and make it into make something out of nothing.
They made ones and zeros into a flying aerial battle with bats and these creatures. You know what I mean?
And I love.
It was pretty epic. Zango was pretty epic. I have to say, there was
Rango.
Rango was pretty monster.
Did you say Zango?
I said Zango. I don't know why I said
I
Zango.
I was like, what?
Rango got to that pretty epicness. Like, when I was watching that, I was like, wow. I mean, and I'm a fan of Westerns, so I'm biased. That's the first thing I tweeted. I was like, I loved Rango. It's freaking awesome. And then afterwards, I followed it up with like, well, I like Westerns, and I like noir, and I like these characters, so I guess I'm biased.
You know what I mean?
Also, well, I guess I am.
As soon as it has
the things I like. What's so wrong about that?
As soon as, you know, a few months ago when I first saw Rango, I basically pretty much fell in love with Rango because I was like, this is like what I would make this, man. I would make, and then I went to the website, and the webs, if you haven't been.
If you haven't been listening to us already.
The Rango website is amazing. Like, it's straight up like probably my favorite site on the internet.
Is it like a total interactive experience?
Yeah, and also since then, they've added extra stuff because I was there a few months ago, and they have like a general store and stuff, and now they added like all this extra stuff, and you get if you click on stuff, you get different icons that come up on your screen, and then you can collect points, and then you can get like screensavers and like downloads and stuff. It's pretty fun. And I played Cards with a Lizard for like half an hour, and then I got like a desktop wallpaper.
See, those things are pretty fun. I remember online, usually, like, Robert Rodriguez has, like, interactive stuff with his movies, too. Because I remember we were playing, when Sin City came out, they had an interactive video game you can play with Sin City. You can be, like, Dwight or someone, and they're, like,
yes,
shooting guys. You can shoot guys
dun,
on the...
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah. But I thought that was cool that you can, like, play like you can shoot guys and like, you know, it's another way just to get really involved and stuff like that. And that's always fun. Sometimes it doesn't work, but sometimes it does. But it's always good to have at least to me, I like creating the whole entire world. I'm not like a Mr. Director type mind. I'm Mr. Creating a world and something that people can enjoy and love type mind.
I found out all these cool things that you can do on the site, but on the first time I ever went to the site, I found out that you can make it nighttime and make aliens appear. But I still haven't found out how to do that again. And that was like, I did that the first time.
I thought you were just supposed to go for the stars.
No, but like, I don't know how to make it nighttime.
I don't know how you make anything nighttime.
I don't even know how, like, I know how to get to the aliens once it's nighttime.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to make it nighttime again. And I did it by accident. So I don't even remember what code or whatever I did or what secret unlocking Easter eggs.
Is that one of the best websites that you've been to that like was in part that was part of a movie? Because I know King Kong had a fun one, but it wasn't like to that level. It wasn't as interactive.
I don't know. Really. I was not at the King Kong website. I actually haven't been. I should probably check out more movie websites. I should probably check out that more. Like in honor of my job as well. But fresh water from the Rango.
Fresh water.
I like when Rango, like, some of the characters are like, what do we do now, Sheriff? And then he's like,
we ride. So what'd you think?
He was just like, we ride.
We ride.
We ride.
Did you, because I remember you sent me a link of the behind the scenes of Rango. Did you find that very interesting?
Yes.
The video, describe the video footage of Johnny Depp.
Andrew sent me this video footage of Johnny Depp and,
But what is the footage, though?
It's like him doing voice work for Rango.
But it's like it's basically behind the scenes of how they recorded.
Behind the scenes of how they recorded. And then he's like in this glass pit. There's this one part, it's on the trailer, and they're like, the water is rising in like this basic pit, you know, then they're going to drown type ordeal. And he's like, help! And then he bangs on glass. I wish I had glass in front of me to like do it. But he's like, help! He's like, get me out of here, you know. But it's cool because they actually had like real glass and he was pounding on it. And Johnny Depp is such a great actor. And he was like physically acting out like all of these things, like when he's walking around and stuff. And the animation looked just like that.
And I thought it was pretty interesting because that was the first time for me that I've ever seen audio for like the dialogue for an animated movie recorded like that. Like that was one of the things that. That
usually
was one
just thing. See them with a microphone.
Yeah, you see them just basically behind the studio.
They had props and stuff. It was small props.
But also that's what Johnny Depp was saying about Gore Verbinski, I think. However you pronounce that.
You got it right.
Yeah, Gore Verbinski. That also did. He also did all the Pirates of the Caribbean, so they already had a pretty interesting working relationship together. But Gore basically had all of them act out the scene. Even the extras, they would just act out the scene in a studio.
And the extras,
and they would film that.
Johnny,
they would actually shoot it. They would shoot it like as if it was the scene, and then that would be like their storyboards, and they would build off of that. And then they're also able to see the expressions.
And Johnny was wearing like regular everyday street clothes.
Well, everywhere Johnny Depp street clothes.
Or Johnny Depp street clothes, and the extras were wearing like town folk country clothes or western. You know, notice that?
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, go back and watch it. There's a scene where you see them from behind, and they're like wearing cowboy hats. But that one, there's this one character particularly that's a bird.
Hi, Sheriff.
There's one character that's particularly a bird, that is like a Native American.
Yeah.
That guy, he looked like just like the character. Did you see him in the background?
Yeah.
Man, that guy was, like, straight up cool. And then the townsfolk were wearing, like, country outfits. It was fun. The extras. But I like seeing that behind the scenes. I'm definitely going to get the Rango DVD and watch all the extra stuff on there. I'm excited about it. Like, I don't know. I'm, like you said, maybe I'm biased or whatever, but I just knew that this is one of those things you just know you're going to like.
And I try not to watch any movies that I why would I watch something I don't want to like?
I'm not really into this, but I'm gonna try it out
because I'm tough. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck, why am I gonna waste my time and money? I don't have a lot of money.
I mean, you're not Roger Ebert. You don't have to get paid to see every movie.
I just
want to
see stuff that like I'm ultra excited about. You know what I mean? Maybe I try some things out with in comic books. I don't even test things out with music. You know, I'm not like, I've never heard of this before. I'm gonna try it out. I was like, I want to hear it before I buy it. You know what I mean? I want to like it. I'm not that type of guy, and I going into going into Rango, I just felt it was good. I felt like I was going to like it. And, you know, it's a Western.
Speaking of music.
And also, I like the way the story was told, too.
Speaking of music, have you ever bought a record just by looking at the cover?
I have not.
Okay.
Usually, I buy the record by hearing the sound.
I'm just making sure. I just was wondering if ever and once in your life you ever thought the album art would look nice.
I mean, I've seen album art, and like, I'd be like, cool, it's really good. You know, I dig it, but I need to listen to the sound. I gotta like it. You know,
I don't think I've ever bought an album art or an album just based on the cover.
I would download the picture of the cover, though.
There's a couple albums that I have that I never listened to the actual music, though.
Really? What's that? You just buy the album cover?
Yeah, like, but...
you should have bought it on vinyl, so it's all big.
No, I didn't buy it for the cover, because, for example, remember when Tower Records was going out of business a couple years ago?
Yeah.
There's this one record I bought, or CD, actually. I still call them records.
Well, they are records.
Yeah, they are, but technically CD. I bought, and it just says...
Technically, they're just...
Didn't buy it for the art. It just said files. It just said Puerto Rican music. And I was like,
Puerto Rican.
I think I was like, you know, it was on sale. They're going out of business. I was like, I think I'll buy some Puerto Rico. It just said music of Puerto Rico. It was like some compilation CD.
How'd that turn out?
Sounded good, but I don't know any of the people on there. I just felt like I was like,
buying that cover?
Yeah. No, but not, I didn't buy it for the art. I just felt like, I was like, well, this is on sale. I will try out some Puerto Rican music. So.
I think it worked out, too.
That's probably the closest I've gotten to that level.
I think in a situation like that, it's also a compilation. So you have like a lot. I think you do have that mix. You have that mixed bag. Yeah, you have that mixed bag of stuff like that. Like, I don't know if I'd ever buy like a Norah Jones album, like with just looking at the cover and. Nothing against Norah Jones, or maybe not. Let's not use Norah Jones as an example, but it's tough. It's, you know, it's audio. It's a medium.
Well, you already know what she sounds like, though.
Yeah,
I'm talking about like just going straight up into something with not knowing what it looked like.
How does Norah Jones sound like?
Norah Jones sounds like a coffee shop.
It actually sounds like the girl version of like Christmas Time Is Here. That's how Norah Jones sounds with the piano. She sounds like, I don't even know who plays that, but Norah Jones is the female version of that, like, but smaller and more sounds. She's an actress now. Everyone's moving. Everyone's moving around. Well, she was in the new Wong Kar-wai film, who? I believe. Well, he made the movie, I think, I forget what it was, 1827, 19, I forget. It's like, he was proclaimed as the most romantic filmmaker ever.
I don't know who that is.
He directs without scripts.
Oh, is he the one with the, the Asian people with the room?
Yeah.
The room
Yeah,
number?
Yeah,
okay,
that room.
I
forgot, 1807 or something like that.
Yeah, that was a good film. Enjoyable.
It was not bad. It was pretty good.
I'm chewing on the last of my tiny throat drop. You know what I learned about being sick?
What's that?
This week? So, probably about...
And this is usually that... I mean,
3 months ago.
I think it's usually about this time of year when the... Like when the air is sort of changing or the seasons are changing, you usually do have a cough and stuff like that. And I'm trying to, over the years, I got to prepare myself and get my mindset and just really push on the healthiness during that time.
Yeah.
But it's tough because like all we do is just work, I guess.
I think I overworked myself in addition because I'm also exhausted.
And also because I part of it I think is because, you know, you hung out with Joel Madden or Benji Madden after 9:30 Club.
You think Benji made me sick?
I don't know if Benji made you sick, but you hung out with them like in the cold all that time. You know, weren't really.
Yeah, I was like sweating.
And then you're surrounded by a bunch of like other like teenage girls in the pit, talking trash.
I was
If any one of you, if any one of you girls touch me, I'm gonna fuck you up.
I was not talking any trash.
How's that girl?
I was not talking any trash.
That always amused me. How that you said that one girl next to you was all getting pissed off in the pit.
Yeah, she was just getting aggravated. She was trying to act all hardcore, but she's like, oh man, in the past I've been like elbowed and I've had black eye and stuff, and you know, like she didn't say she had black eye, but she's like I've been bruised.
Because you know, Good Charlotte does put on a heavy rock, not like metal or heavy, but a pretty jumping live show.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? You gotta be prepared.
And pretty much we were dead center in front. You know what I mean? Like right in ground zero.
We were in Joel territory.
Yeah, we were in Joel territory. What was your experience there, like surrounded by that whole entire circulation?
Well, you know, usually every Good Charlotte show I've ever been to, surrounded by fat girls. Straight up.
But you know what's different about
passionate.
This show?
They're very passionate.
You know, but you know what I found that's different about this one that was completely different than the rest of them? They're not all goth. These weren't really all those goth fat chicks. They're more just like now, there was less black in the crowd that I've ever seen in the show.
They weren't straight up goth. So I guess, you know, I don't know. I mean, and actually some of them were skinny, so I can't say that they're all fat.
Yeah.
Because there was like that blonde girl in front of us that was all tatted up.
Yeah.
She was with her mom.
Tell us the story about the mom.
Man, I thought the mom was going to die. I was worried for her.
Like,
because
so when you were going in there though, were they already in the front row? It seems like they stayed a long time.
Straight up in the front. You know, they were hanging out like pretty much the whole time. Keep in mind, this is a show that had four bands. Like, it was a pretty long show.
Yeah.
Long sets, man. So you had first band. It was called Runner Runner. And they were... I didn't know any of these bands except for Good Charlotte.
Yeah.
So I was honestly expecting a little bit of crap, to be honest with you.
You know, I actually wasn't expecting that many. Remember, I was still asking like while we were there. I was like, who's so, what? I was like so surprised that there was going to be three opening acts.
Let's rewind to the very beginning. So I left work a little bit early. We're staying in front of 930 Club in line because we want to get good positioning. You know, we want to get up in Good Charlotte's grill.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, Good Charlotte puts on a damn good show. And I'm not, I mean, that's a good show to go to, man.
Yeah,
Good Charlotte is a good ticket to go to.
It is a good show. $35 to see four bands. You know, I'm down.
And pretty hardcore bands.
Good Charlotte just had a new album come out called Cardiology. It's good.
It's actually really good, up and down. We've been talking about it before.
Really good album. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I want to see them perform these new songs. Because we haven't seen them in about, you know, we haven't seen them since Good Morning Revival came out. So it's been about two and a half years or something. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to go to the show. I'll stick by Good Charlotte no matter what anybody says because that's my band, okay? So, and also surprisingly, I just want to address this. The number one thing that people say to me that they hate about me is that I like Good Charlotte.
Well,
I swear to God,
well,
out of anything else that in my whole life, no matter my personality, this, that, things I like, this and that, whatever. Like, people don't have a problem with me, but then when I say I like Good Charlotte, for some reason they have a problem.
Well, fuck them. It's your ears. You get to choose what you want to digest.
Yeah,
in yourself.
I mean, I will listen to
and
the
I don't
music.
Think it ha- I don't think and it has a negative. It has not one negative connotation on you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think other people just have something against people that are successful. So,
well, fuck
you know what? If you're going to be a hater, then be a hater. But Good Charlotte survived, and they make good music, and they're still around today. It's been 10 years, so get over it.
All right, so it's the opening acts, Runner.
Okay, so we're in line, and I got out of work early. We're in line. These girls behind us we're talking to, they're pretty nice. Do you think that girl behind us looked like Rachel Dratch?
I don't really remember.
Okay. Anyway, they're from, like, New Jersey, and they came down, and they had, like, a bus accident and stuff, so they're all, like, man, they must have had weary travelers, you know, like, their bus broke down for, like, 3 hours until another bus came, and I was like, man, you know, people were coming from all over the place. They weren't just local D.C. people. These people were waiting, and they were into it, and it was, you know, it was good. Anyway, so we got there. We got good positioning. We're waiting, so there's, you know, there's three bands. So first band comes out is Runner Runner. And, you know, I wasn't, all these bands, I wasn't expecting anything. Because I was just waiting for Good Charlotte. I was like, man, all these, like, teeny bopper people hanging out.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm taking water. And, like, talking to this girl in front of me, like, in the pit. And she was like, she's like all talking about how she's like older. She's like, all these other people are so much younger than me.
What, the girl in the pit in front of you?
Yeah. She was like, I'm an old timer or whatever.
Was this the fat girl or the skinny girl?
She was a little heavy. And she was very nice. And she was telling me about the three bands that were opening for Good Charlotte. Because I didn't know who they were. And then she's like, I'm an old timer and stuff. And she's like, I'm 22. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Excuse my, oh, I shouldn't say Jesus Christ, but excuse my language. But I was just like, man, you're calling yourself an old timer? I was like, come on now. But anyway, I'm not going to reveal my age, but let's just say I'm older than 22.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but I felt
I'll
like
I'll just say that I'm younger than 22.
And I just felt like I mixed, but I still mix in with like those 17-year-olds pretty awesomely. Anyway.
Well, you're all just there to have a good time, so what does age matter?
Anyway? I know, but it still kind of felt awesome because I did like feel like I connected.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, so then.
So basically, there's a first band called Runner Runner, and the first song I was like giving you a thumbs up. I was like, this is awesome. The first song was pretty good, but overall, their songs all like really sounded well polished. Like they were super well polished. Like
almost too polished.
Almost too polished. So to a point where it was like
too strategically
made. It was too strategically constructed, but they were.
Well,
still
that was only afterwards.
Band.
That was afterwards. I start thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah. I have to go to that too. Anyway, so second band. What was it called? This Century. They're good. Felt a little bit indie, but they were still like pretty awesome. It was like freaking good live show. And then third band. What was that? Forever the Sickest Kids. Yes, Forever the Sickest Kids. They were like, they just blew up the stage, man. And then the guy had like that mic stand that said FTSK. And all the kids were like, FTSK, ah! I like, never even heard of them. Apparently they're like...
Well, they're I think, I mean, a magazine or some online said they're like the biggest underground band.
Yeah, the Rolling Stone said they're the number one underground rock band.
Yeah.
So...
But it's still, I mean, I like them live. For me, I like them more live, but I don't think I can, like, I listen to their music online that are actually just studio music, and I don't know, I'm still not going to buy that.
Yeah.
Live, they brought it, man.
I will say, like, I also afterwards listened to all the records, and they were all, they sounded better live, because the records just sound too polished and stuff. It was just way too clean.
I'm more of a live type atmosphere.
But all three bands, like, awesome. And then Good Charlotte came, freaking crazy. The audience is crazy. And then the mom. Okay, so there's the girl in front of us with her mom, right? And they've been down the whole time. They've been.
Yeah, they're all tatted up and they're all sweaty and stuff like that. And it's crazy thinking that, like, oh, you brought your mom in the middle of the pit.
Yeah, like, I'm like, dude, that mom. The whole time I was, like, really worried for her because I was like, oh, God. Man, she just needs to leave this area because she's, you know, she's a little bit older and she tried her best to hang in there. But, you know, apparently from what you saw, she got hit.
Well, you know, because there's a time where there's a lot of people crowd surfing. There's a lot of people crowd surfing, you know what I mean? And then, like, you know, people are going to be flying above your head. And I think, like, she got caught in the head with a chair and stuff like that.
A chair?
Not a chair, but a leg. And then, like, she got hit in the face.
And she got hit with a chair from the Miz?
No, I mean, like, you know, like, you know, like body limbs are flying and stuff like that. So she got hit, and then I saw her, like, she's clutching at her face. And at that moment, I was like, oh, I think she's going to go out. She lasted longer because it sucks when you get hit in the face in the pit. Like, you know, you get hit in the shoulder, hit in the back, but then, you know, it's sort of like you hit in the eye. Like, specifically for me when I wear glasses in the pit, you know.
Protective.
I'm really proactive,
too.
Like, me, the way I protect myself. And, like, I really try to anticipate when bodies are flying over me. You know what I mean? And the way I do it is I just launch the person as far as I can. Like, I really just, like, I take pleasure and joy just lifting them up and throwing them.
Throwing them away.
Like, gorilla pressing them and launching them out of the way.
Anyway, so at first I felt that they were going to lift the lady, like, you know, to the bouncer and throw her out frontwards. But instead, the girl, like, holds her mom. And then she's like, excuse me, and then, like, runs backwards. And it felt like, what was that horror movie with the ghost where they, like, drag the, what was it, the really popular one this past year?
The
horror movie.
The Paranormal Activity?
Yeah, it felt like Paranormal Activity where the body gets dragged. I swear to you, she, like, dragged her mom backwards. I was like, what the fuck?
But I think,
like,
that's so she was really hurt, though. That was the thing. It's like the old, you know, it's a mom in there, you know?
I know, but, like, the way that she pulled her back, I was like, I didn't even know there was enough room to, like, just jet back like that. It really
she's
felt
just, like, disappeared. She's, like, grabbing with her arms as she enters into the darkness. It was, like, in the middle of a song, too.
And it seriously felt like Paranormal Activity for, like, a split second because it happened, like, very quickly. I was just like, holy shit.
Because that crowd is getting pretty crazy, man. That crowd is like up in its Jones, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I personally didn't get injured.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Good Charlotte brings a good live show, and I will stand by any band that puts on a good live show.
And they're sold out, man.
Fuck anyone else when they're thinking like these. But if you can bring it live, I'll watch your live show. I may not buy your album, but I'll watch your live show.
But we bought the Good Charlotte.
But what I'm saying is that they stand on that, you know, and that that's really cool for that.
And on top of that,
I'm going to stand by the things I like. From now on, we're going to stand by the fucking shit that we like. I'm not going to try to be a player and try to go with things I think that make me look hip. Fuck looking hip. Fuck those hipsters or whatever it is to do that. Really, you should just stand by the things you like. Because if you don't say that you like the stuff that you like, you're sort of betraying them. You know what I mean? Yep. You're sort of turning your back on those things. And I don't think anyone should turn their back on these artists that are busting their ass to do something that you enjoy. You should just go out there and enjoy the work that they do, because then why else would they do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the whole point. About the Good Charlotte show? They were selling their live CD, like, right immediately afterwards of that performance.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen, like, physically before.
Scooped it up, you know what I mean?
So then I was like, I'm going to buy that, too. Yeah. So now I always have the memories of that show, like, recorded.
I thought that was really cool. We listened to it, like, directly afterwards.
Yeah, and I was like, that's an awesome money-making opportunity for them, too.
We kept on saying that, because they were saying that, like, everyone was like, we love DC, and we kept on chanting, we're number one.
Did that make it to the recording?
I don't know. I haven't heard it yet. But there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Carolyn is back.
I'm back.
Welcome back,
Hopefully
Carolyn.
Hopefully my voice will be better next week.
I hope you had a good time, everyone. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Catch you all later. See you, Carolyn.
See you, Joe.
Stay positive, everybody. Fuck the world.
That's positive.